Please turn with me to John chapter 4, the Gospel according to John chapter 4, and we read from verse 1 to verse 26. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." That is the word of God. May he bless it to us all. She was riding on the top deck of a double-decker bus away from all the chatter on the lower deck. After a quick visit to the out-of-town supermarket, she was now back on her way home. Although the bus was quite full, she had done her usual thing of putting her shopping bags on the seat next to her to prevent anyone from coming too close. The last thing she wanted was entering a conversation. There was chatter around her, and she heard laughter from the lower deck. She wondered how it would feel to be happy and laugh, really laugh. Her life was in such a mess. Broken relationships, immorality, disappointment, and feelings of loss, sadness, and guilt. Especially guilt for making some very stupid choices in her life. She knows that her neighbors are talking about her, and in some strange way, she's happy that it is still advised to wear a mask so that it is not as easy for anyone to recognize her. Let's be honest, there are plenty of people like that. People who struggle because of the choices they have made and who are happy to hide behind a COVID mask or even masks of laughter or indifference. People who find life just very hard. The woman we read about in John 4 falls into that category. We don't know her name. We don't know how old she was. We don't know what she looked like. We only know that she was making her trip to the well at an unusual time of the day, probably to avoid the other women from the town of Sychar with their gossip and their sniggers. It was the hottest time of the day when she was there, and no one else was there, at least none of the people of her town. Because although she knew it was hard to carry her water jug back home at the hottest time of the day, she could at least avoid the people of her town and district, and that was all that mattered. To her great shock, though, as she arrived at Jacob's well, she saw there was already someone there. There was a man, a Jewish man. And although we are not told, it could have made her feel uneasy. Her experience with men hadn't been good, and her experience with Jews had been a very bad one, because Jews do not communicate with Samaritans. They look down on them. And so I wonder what she thought. We are not told. But she might have wondered, was she safe? Could she still draw water? And then this man looks at her and says, with a kind voice, "Will you give me a drink?" I want to share with you four things that the woman said that were rather significant and helps us to understand what was happening to her and helps us to understand the gospel. Firstly, she asks a question. She asks this man, of course, who was Jesus, "How can you ask me for a drink?" We see that in verse 4 in this chapter, chapter 4 of John. In verse 9, rather. "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" What happened here was indeed unusual. It's perhaps hard for us to understand. Sometimes there's a little bit of aggro between the Welsh and the English, especially during rugby matches. But nowhere like the sort of hatred and hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans, especially from the Jews. We are told the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. They were not a pure people. They had intermarried. The Jews were the pure people of God, and the Jews were looking down on Samaritans and were avoiding them. They would enter in no conversation with Samaritans. They would avoid that like the plague, as it were. And so for this person to talk to her was an unusual thing to happen. Actually, what happened here was more unusual than this woman realized. Because Jesus says to her in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says, 'You give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." If you realized who it is who is talking to you, you realize what is happening here is more unusual than a Jew speaking to a Samaritan. Here is the Messiah, the very Son of God, who is coming with the gift of living water. He's coming with the gift of eternal life. Something really unusual is happening here today. In some ways, it was even more unusual and special than that, in that it does say in the preceding verses that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. And you may ask the question, well, why did he have to? Well, some people will say, well, because of geographical reasons. He traveled from Judea to Galilee, and so the straightest way was to go through Samaria. But that would be misunderstanding, again, the culture, because almost every Jew would travel around Samaria and go to Galilee in that way. Samaria was just not the right place to travel through, you know. The shortest way isn't always the best way. My wife Maria and I, we a few years ago, went to Cardiff, and we went to Cardiff Bay. We parked the car, they had a look around, and after about an hour, we had seen it, we felt, and we wanted to go to the city. Decided to leave the car there and walked to the city and took the shortest road. And the shortest road went through Bute Town. Now, people who live there may say there's nothing wrong with Bute Town. That's been in the news again quite a few times recently. It's not always a safe place. And some of my friends said afterwards, when I told them, you walk through Bute Town? I wouldn't have if I would have been you. The shortest way isn't always the safest way. No, it's no reflection on the people who live there, possibly mostly very, very nice people. But it just makes the point. The shortest way isn't always the right way. No, I believe that Jesus had to go through Samaria because he had an appointment in his divine diary. He was there to meet this woman and to be a blessing to her and to be a blessing to the people of her town who looked down on her, but she would become the first evangelist in that town to share with them the gospel. God was at work, and it was in God's diary, as it were, that this woman would meet Jesus. It had been in God's diary from before the foundation of the world. And for us who are Christians, it is just amazing to know that it was God's plan to meet us. And it was not myself at the age of 23 who suddenly had his thought, I think I need Jesus. God knocked on my door and he opened my eyes and he drew me into the kingdom of God. It was in his divine diary. I don't want to belittle that by using that sort of very common word. But it was in God's mind, in God's heart to do this. Salvation is something that is amazing. If you can say today, Jesus is my Savior. It was because it was in God's heart first to save you and to draw you. And we must not stop praising and thanking him for our glorious salvation. She was surprised that a Jewish man spoke to her. Even more when she realized that this man who had spoken to her was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Jesus speaks to all of us, and we should rejoice in that. How can you ask me for a drink? The second thing I want to draw out that he says in verse 15, Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. As the NIV says, that I don't need to keep coming here, which is a good way to translate. That I don't need to keep coming here. Jesus spoke to her in verses 13 and 14 about living water. Whoever drinks of the water, of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. A glorious statement, a glorious offer. We just wonder, well, how much did she understand of what Jesus was offering? Again, we are not told the full content of that, but although I'm not sure how much she understood, I'm quite sure that she began to realize that what Jesus offering her was more than simply water. She was now listening to this unusual man offering her water that would take away her thirst forever. This man who could do something so that you wouldn't have to keep coming here. Every day at midday to draw water. And this wasn't because she was lazy. It was because she was stuck. Because of the mess in her life. She had to come here at a time when no one else was there. She had to avoid people because she wanted to avoid the sniggers and the gossip and the accusations. She had to go at a different time because she had messed up her life. She had done so much wrong, had made so much wrong choices, and she couldn't undo any of her choices. And now this man, this kind man, this Jewish man, was offering her something that she didn't fully understand, but that could change things. Or was there hope? Hope for her life, for her mess? Give me this water, Lord, so that I don't have to keep coming here. Don't know whether all of you know Jesus as your Savior, but it's good for us all to contemplate these questions. You know, many people are aware, and we're all aware, that Jesus is a most wonderful person. But do we know that he's full of grace and compassion and loves to bless who come to him? Some may be stuck in their ways. Some may regret the choices they made. Most of us would agree that we're just not worthy of Jesus coming to us and saving us, forgiving our sins. What have we done to deserve this? And then there is this invitation to a sinful woman and say, I want to give you living water. Water that springs up to eternal life. Or as Jesus said elsewhere, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that includes this woman from Samaria, and it also includes you and me. Give me this water. And then is a strange thing that she says. Well, she had to say this because Jesus asked a strange question. He then says, as she asked for this living water, seeming to be ready to receive the gospel, but Jesus didn't think she was ready. He says, go call your husband and come here. And she can only answer and say, I have no husband. Maybe she could have asked the guy who lived with her to come and never own up, but she felt this man deserved the truth. This man deserved her to admit that no, things are not right. I have no husband. That's why Jesus says, you have well said in verse 17 and the end of verse 18, in that you spoke truly. She spoke the truth. It's not easy for her to admit. But Jesus wanted her to realize it's important to speak the truth, to own up, to confess your sins, to admit that things are not right, and that you cannot blame the people of your town. You cannot blame the husbands you've had. You cannot blame the guy who's living with you now. It's also your fault. You have sinned. And you know, we don't like to talk about sin, maybe. The world doesn't like to talk about sin. It's gone out of fashion to talk about sin. And we know it's absolutely vital in the understanding of the gospel. Jesus did not just come because he loves us and wants to give us joy. Jesus came because we needed saving. Because we are sinners, because we fall short, because without him we are on our way to hell. The Bible says all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. But in Romans we also read that we can be justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And it's something that we cannot deserve. In some churches it is proclaimed that it is through our own works that we can be saved by what we do. If we are more obedient, we have a greater chance to be accepted by God. But that is a false gospel, because whatever we do falls short of God's glory. Even our best acts, our righteous acts, the best day of your life, even that falls short of the glory of God. He is a holy God. And we can only be saved by what Jesus has done. The Son of Man, though, if it is the good news, came to seek and to save the lost. Not good people, not righteous people, not people who try their very best. He came to save the lost. And so this woman was right to admit, I have no husband. My life is in a mess. I fall short of what God wants me to be. And that is the place that we all need to come to. And then finally, the last thing, which I think is the most amazing thing she said. She said to the people in her town, well, let me just read it to you, which might be better. In verse 28, we read, we haven't read that earlier, but let me read verse 28 and verse 29. The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? A man who told me all things that I ever did. How is that for a testimony? Seems very strange, isn't it? That is her testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And it was a testimony, because in verse 39, just look with me at that verse, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. That was a testimony. And that testimony made a real impression on the people in her town. He told me everything I ever did. In other words, he knew about a mess in my life. He knew about my immorality even before I owned up to him. He knew all about me, and yet, rather than avoiding me because of this mess in my life, he specially came to me. And he spoke to me, and he offered me living water. He offered me eternal life. He offered me the opportunity of putting faith in him, the Messiah. And she couldn't get over the fact that the Son of God would lower himself in such a way of communicating with someone like her and then offering her hope and life and forgiveness. She just couldn't get past the point that he knew about all her sin, and yet he embraced her with his grace. I wonder whether we sometimes have lost the amazement of grace. That we think it normal that we sit in church and are part of the people of God. That I think it's normal because I've been walking with the Lord for 47 years. You know, it's just how it is. And it's great and glorious. And I do know the Bible, I know the gospel. But it's still that sense of amazement. He knew everything I ever did. He knew all about me. He knew I was a sinner. And I'm still a sinner today. And yet Jesus came to die for my sin, for your sin, to pay the price in full. He died for a people who were unworthy. And let's be honest, many of you have been walking with Christ for many, many years, but we are still unworthy today. We can't say, well, now I understand why Jesus saved me, because I'm actually turned out to be quite a nice Christian. It's not like it, isn't it? We are still sinners saved by grace. And every day we should get up in amazement and say, Lord, that you are my Savior is just so glorious. Your mercies are new every morning, and your faithfulness is great. Every morning we should wake up with a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because salvation is out of this world. Maybe the world out there might take more notice of Christians who live in that constant sense of amazement of being saved. We pray for revival. And often revival started in the church when God moved his people, convicted them of their sin, and reminded them of their Savior. And when things became real to them, all afresh. And I feel, personally, I need that new sense of awareness that Jesus saved me, and that is an amazing thing to have happened. This gracious, wonderful, and glorious gospel. This woman could say, although he knew, he still reached out to me. He still wanted me to put my faith in him. He was prepared to forgive me, to accept me, to bless me. He knew all about me. He told me everything I ever did, and yet he loved me. The initiative to save sinners is from God. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. It is God who reached out to us. It is Jesus who came to us. He became one of us in order to save us. The Samaritan woman wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for her. Those of us who have been saved know that this is purely undeserved, and by God's grace, salvation is the gift of God, and we should rejoice in that. Does anyone who hasn't come to trust in Jesus, and you're still hampered by that thought, I'm just not worthy to come. I'm not such a good Christian as this person or that person. And there are people who've been walking with Christ for so many years, and I look at them and they are real examples to me, but I'm not on that level, and what will God do to me? With me, I just fall so far short. I'm not worthy to be saved. Well, you will never be worthy to be saved. But he knows all that you ever did. He knows about your unworthiness. He knows you as you right are. And to that sinner in the pew who feels that he or she is not worthy, God says, trust in me. Jesus died for sinners, for people such as you. And what you need to do is just to come and put your trust in me, believing that Jesus died for all your sins, embrace him as your Savior, and I will cleanse your sins away. I will remember your sins no more, and you will be my child and a follower of Jesus and receive eternal life simply because of the grace of God. It is the gift of God given to those who are not worthy. He loved us before we came to him. He loved us on the day of our salvation. He loved us. He loves us still today, just as we are. And he will love us for all eternity. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for sending your Son. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for giving your life. Holy Spirit, we thank you for convicting us of our sin and showing us of the need of a Savior. And we thank you, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your abundant grace for those who don't deserve it. Lord, remind us daily. Help us to be more amazed at this great salvation and all that you've done for us, and give us a new desire to live for your glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.